Okay, here we are, and welcome back. Glad you're here. We have a lot to talk about this hour, and we're going to try and do our best to cover as much of the material as we have. We always have far more than we can get to. But there are a lot of things going on out there, and we're going to try and touch on a few of the more relevant of them. And let's find out if that pretty girl is there. Are you there?
I am.
Well,
happy Friday.
Yes. I was always told that you can't go wrong if you tell a woman she's pretty.
Flattery will get you everywhere.
Especially if it's true. Huh? All right. Now, let's see. Let me move this over here. I'm going to start with Robert Kennedy. I think most of you were able to see the video at the top of the homepage, which I think is very important. If nothing else, it is another abject lesson in the hypocrisy of politicians. I'm not an RFK fan. I'm not a communist fan. I don't like liberals. I don't like lefties. They're not American. Now, he is not the same kind of a left-wing liberal that existed when JFK was in the White House. Democrats back then were American patriots. It's a whole different thing. If you go back and read JFK's speeches or watch them, you'll understand. So Robert Kennedy made it quite clear that he was, in his words, furiously pro-vax. All right? As in furious. I mean, you can't be much more pro-vax than that. Here's the little video. I just want to play this one more time. I've retired it. It's actually taken down. I've replaced it with his spiel about how he wishes he could put every climate denier or skeptic in prison. That's another one. So he's got some damage control to do. Even though these weren't current, they were current enough that he's got issues. He's already changed his furiously pro-vax position dramatically. We'll talk about that in a minute. But here's the real RFK Jr., or what used to be the real RFK Jr., until he met Bob Malone and Stevie Kirsch.
Minister Farrakhan has asked me to address the issue of vaccines and African-American and vaccine safety. I want to start out by saying this, and I want to say it emphatically. I am pro-vaccine. I have always been fiercely pro-vaccine. I had all six of my children vaccinated, and I believe that we ought to have policies that encourage full vaccination for all Americans.
Okay. All right. You got it. It doesn't get to be any more clearly stated or enunciated than that. Now, fast forward. Story. Sputnik, ABC News, liberally censors RFK Jr.'s interview over vaccine comments that he made. And we all know that ABC is pro-vax, probably furiously pro-vax. So let's see what the story says here. Kennedy, 69, tossed his hat into the presidential race last week. And let me stop there. And who, my colleague, just happened to be at that announcement?
Oh, good doctor to her, Robert Malone.
Yeah, and his buddy, Steve Kirsch.
Steve Kirsch.
So, what does that tell all of us? It should tell us several things. Let me go back to the story here. Kennedy tossed his hat into the race last week and quickly surged to a 19% support rating among Democrats. Well, he'll be, in a month or two, he'll be ahead of the walking cadaver, no question. The candidate is an outspoken critic of the U.S. COVID vaccination programs. So says ABC. So says Robert F. Kennedy Jr. He's done a 180 from the video I just played you a couple minutes ago. A 180. And in a 2021 book, RFK Jr. accused COVID czar Anthony Fauci of helping to pull off an historic coup d'etat against Western democracy. All right, well, that's fair. So anyway, the point is, ABC says, and this is what the interviewer said, we should note that during our conversation, Kennedy made false claims about the COVID-19 vaccines, said ABC News Live anchor Lindsay Davis. Data shows, says Davis, that the COVID-19 vaccine has prevented millions of hospitalizations and deaths from the disease. Now, is that a whopper or what?
Yeah.
Data shows that the COVID-19 vaccine has prevented millions of hospitalizations and deaths from the disease. Well, that's the virus, of course. No mention of vax injuries. No mention of the tens and hundreds of millions of people who have been hospitalized and permanently disabled from those bioweapon shots. And again, it bears repeating, the shots are owned by the Department of Defense and the Pentagram. They are military bioweapons. That's what they are. Nothing more, nothing less. The producer and interviewer also said he made misleading claims about the relationship between vaccination and autism. Research shows that vaccines and the ingredients used for the vaccines do not cause autism, including multiple studies involving more than a million children, et cetera, et cetera. So, okay, we have a reincarnated media persona of RFK that is now anti-vax. And you heard the other RFK. Will the real RFK please stand up? And how much of RFK Jr. is under the thumb of Steve Kirsch and Bob Malone?
Good question.
That's another question. We'll leave it on the table. I'm not going to speculate. But we do know that that Bob Malone has stepped up and become, at times, very much anti-vax. We also know, through the video I played on this program, that Bob Malone said in an interview in Hawaii, and I paraphrase, we must get as much vax into adults and seniors as quickly as possible. All right. So, again, a 180-degree flip-flop. And you have your right to do that. I get it. But we're talking about big politics here. Big money, big politics.
Now, George Webb recently said that Steve Kirsch donated $20 million to the Democratic National Party convention?
$20 million, said
George Webb. I wonder what that
was for. $20 million. That's about $21 million more than I have. So, yeah.
That was rather benevolent of him.
He's a nice guy. What a nice guy. And I happened to see, and many of you did, I think, the original launch of those two characters onto the COVID stage on the Dark Horse. Is that what it was? Dark Horse?
Yep. Dark Horse. Yep.
With Brent Weinstein.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I saw that program. And I said, who the hell are these people? Who are these guys? I mean, you got the little teddy bear there, Bob Malone, and then you got Steve Kirsch. And I didn't recognize either of them. And I listened for a while, and it was clear to me that they were being launched, introduced, and they were going to be around. And boy, were they. All right. So there's a little political footnote for you. Let me jump over to the other stories that, pardon me, are important. The Daily Mail reports that you now must be ready for the dog flu. And it subtitles it, mutated form of avian influenza is creeping toward infecting humans. I think, I want Erica to come in on this, but I think we can safely say that efforts have been made to probably tweak H5N1 to make it very much at home in mammalian physiologies. That's my guess. I think that's where we're going with this thing. It naturally could mutate over time, but, gee, the coincidence is awfully nice. All right? So it's creeping toward being able to infect humans, scientists, plural, say. And it goes into more detail and minutia about it. So there we go. is saying that H5N1 is creeping toward infecting humans, and obviously is also infecting some canines at this point. Not good.
I know the dogs over the past year, many dogs have had some kind of respiratory thing that has been afflicting dogs, and I suspect it has something to do with the shedding of the bioweapon. But the vets, as far as I can tell, don't really know what it is or how to effectively treat it.
Correct.
Yeah. Maybe they're putting a label on it now, you know, dog flu.
I don't know. We'll watch it for you, and you'll probably see it as quickly as we do if you're on top of this whole thing. A spate, they say, of human bird flu cases have emerged in the early parts of 2023. Earlier this year, a Cambodian man and his daughter were diagnosed with H5N1. Their cases sparked international concern, with many experts fearing their infection was proof the virus had mutated to infect people better after tearing through the world's bird population. All right. So there you go. That's the game. If they want to roll it out, they're doing everything they can right now to set it up. Further testing found the Cambodian family did not have the H5N1 strain rapidly spreading among the world's birds, but instead a variant known to spread locally in such and such province in Cambodia where they lived. There has been one case of a British person becoming infected with H5N1 since 2021. Okay. Anyhow, that's the gist of it right there. So dogs are being continually infected. They were infected, and Eric is quite right, with something. It was of a respiratory nature, as I remember it. They never did ascertain what it was. We could make a damn good guess as to what it was. We call it spike protein. A lot of dogs have died, we think, from the spike protein and the mRNA that is shed from mammal to mammal. No question about that. Okay. Here's another one. Your friendly government loves you. U.S. officials reject all and any compensation for people diagnosed with COVID-19 vaccine injuries. You are SOL. It's all over. Another story. Call for return of face masks as COVID variant Arcturus spreads. They just pull these things out of a playbook over and over. Now they're going to try and force people to mask up because of Arcturus, which is Omicron. It's a variant, a sub from Omicron.
Well, you know, that's the one that's causing conjunctivitis. That's one of the
correct
features of this particular strain. Might be a good idea to wear goggles.
Not a joke. I have goggles. I am ready. When I wear my half face mask with double respirators, P100s, into the store, I'm going to get a lot of looks. I went to the store yesterday. I had to go. And I was the only person in the store with a mask. The only one. So people are just dropping them off now. They're not putting them on anymore.
I still see. There's a few. They tend to be older people, probably feeling at risk.
Well, they are at risk. Masks are very important, and everyone who cares about his or her welfare should be wearing a mask whenever they're around their vax opposites. Or anyone. It doesn't matter if you're around anybody.
I heard it was a young, I would say maybe an 18-year-old today, coughing. He looked normal. He was
a teenager.
A teenager. He was outdoors. He was recreating, and all of a sudden he just started hacking, and it was really a frightening type of cough. You know, I want to say tuberculosis, but, it was not. It sounded very serious. He's got a lot of lung inflammation, obviously.
Right. Sure. Well.
But I was glad I was downwind.
Well.
Or is it upwind?
Was this in the great outdoors?
Yeah, it was out, I was outside, and I just if it had been indoors.
Right. Well, you hear it. If you go into any area where there are lots of people, you'll hear coughing. It's part of the landscape now. All right, here's another one for you. Oral sex is fueling an epidemic of throat cancer, doctor warns. This is a New York Post story. A pretty good platform. So, and if these people are shot up, it will be a turbo-type cancer, most likely. So this is another interesting little cul-de-sac that this whole tragedy is taking. Brain infections among kids are surging. Now, this is not tied in the story to the vax, but I'm personally convinced that the story should have mentioned vaxxed kids, but it didn't. Doctor says, I've never seen anything like it. Health officials investigating cases of brain infection in children. Kids. Brain diseases, actually brain abscesses in children, first noticed in Las Vegas, but now rising in other parts of the country too. Dr. Bragg, an associate prof at the University of Utah and the only pediatric neurosurgeon for the state of Nevada, one pediatric neurosurgeon in the whole state of Nevada, began noticing a large increase in cases of brain infections among children beginning in March 2022, a year after the rollout. Shocker. I was seeing large numbers of cases, and that's unusual, Bragg told CNN. During that time, the number of brain diseases, known more specifically as brain abscesses in kids, tripled in Nevada, rising from an average of 4 to 5 a year to 18. So that's a 300% jump. As the only doctor treating the cases in the state, Bragg took note of this unusual increase and notified public health authorities. They're authorities, authorities. In my 20 years experience, I've never seen anything like this. Now, a brain abscess is not something that goes away easily. That's actually most likely worse than an infection, an abscess. It's a physical growth of usually dead white cells composing a kind of a gelatinous or a more durable matter than that. That's an abscess, usually. An infection is something that usually can be cleared up, but the abscesses, apparently, it requires neurosurgery to get rid of it. So watch for that one, too. As we've said, there are so darn many ways that this incredible injection is anti-life. So many ways, so many pathways to take someone's health down. And it's doing it absolutely perfectly. And the next person you hear say, well, it was an experimental, it's not approved. Oh, no. There's nothing experimental about this at all. It was perfected and it was deployed. It is a weapon. Okay. Anything you want to add to this litany of more bad news?
No, you covered it well.
mRNA vaccines have been used on pigs in the U.S. since 2018. And the only way to really make yourself safe from that, I don't know which mRNA vaccine they've been using. It doesn't say. There are many, or can be, unlimited numbers. The only way to really protect yourself is to become vegan. Don't eat pork.
Pork is questionable anyway. How many different parasites that cannot be cooked out?
Too many. I can't even remember the number. It's huge. And it's also cellularly, almost a ringer for human tissue. It tastes like people. That according to people who have eaten people. So, whatever. All right. Let us go to our compendium of things. And for all of you out there who are fighting the good fight, and for all of you out there who are vax listeners, who have been injured and wounded by this. We are right there with you every step of the way. I think you know that now. Do take your supplements, but do not be taken in by people who are promising great results. There just aren't any great results being routinely reported for any normally popular supplement. Just not happening. And there are things we've suggested that are very important. Erica has been the first to really get into the iron issue. That's a very big one. She was the first that I ever heard mentioning how really important the proper kind of niacin is. Nicotinic acid. That's the flush niacin. Very important. So if you're really wanting to do something, include flush niacin. That's the nicotinic acid. Remember acid. You read it on the label. Very important. All right, what about magnetic blood? What do we got going here?
Well, that keeps coming up, and people are now conditioned to believe that it's graphene, and there's no evidence that this is graphene. And for the record, we've had magnetic people going back decades. So this human magnetism thing is not something new. It might be explained by the fact that when hemoglobin, which is the protein in your blood that carries iron that can bind to oxygen, when that hemoglobin is not bound to oxygen, it becomes a paramagnetic, meaning it will be attracted to a magnetic field. When it's bound with oxygen, it's diamagnetic, so it's neutral or would actually be repelled by a magnetic field. But I think what's happening here is because of the way the spike interferes with the red blood cells, the red blood cells are not able to bind oxygen the way they normally would.
No, they're not.
And so if you've got enough spike in you that is interfering with your red blood cells, hemoglobin's ability to carry oxygen, you may become magnetic. And it gets worse if you have the oxidized methemoglobin, which is that's characterized by the black blood. This is the hemoglobin that can't recycle itself. It can't, it's taken on oxygen. And that's even more paramagnetic. And then you've also got ferritin, which is a carrier storage form of iron, which is considered super paramagnetic. And we all know that this bioweapon illness is characterized by very high levels of ferritin. So these factors having to do with the state of the number of unpaired electrons on the hemoglobin molecule may be what's determining this magnetism.
No,
you can speculate all day long, but until somebody does a study
and
shows that unequivocally,
like that's not science.
But it has taken hold.
Proclaim it, yeah.
People are now believing that the black lettering on their pharmaceuticals or over-the-counter too, drugs is graphene. It's not. It's iron. Iron pigments have been used in the pharmaceutical industry for marking for decades.
Right.
It's in cereal. All kinds of processed foods are fortified with iron. They think they're doing you a favor by adding all this iron. It's also used as a food preservative. So it can be in any number of foods that need stability on the shelf.
Question.
Not graphene.
A lot of labels say reduced iron. You happen to know what that terminology means in terms of the FDA and what they require?
Well, reduced
meaning iron. I don't know if it's a form of iron. Or if it's a lessening of the amount of iron, I don't know what it is.
No, reduce would mean that it can suck the oxygen out. That's what they're looking for, and as a preservative, they would want something that can attract the oxygen, so the oxygen doesn't spoil the food.
Gotcha. Okay. All right, very good. Okay, well, there we are again. As we speak to you tonight, shedding remains the number one issue. We have now documented people who have been shed upon, who have died, who have had blood clots, who have had all kinds of serious physical and physiological responses from being shed upon. You've heard witnesses and doing testimonials on the program. You know what the stories say. So again, we would urge all of you, when you go out, whether you're injected or not, wear a mask when you're around people. The injected need to wear masks because they all have, to one degree or another, AIDS. Right? It's not HIV AIDS, it's AIDS. It's acquired immune deficiency, and they are immunologically deficient. And I'll tell you, and we've said this before, if bird flu breaks out as the next pandemic, plandemic, or whatever it may be, the vaxxed are in big trouble because they have no normal competent immunological function. They're severely diminished and compromised. It's just the truth. It's what happens.
Didn't the bird flu that we had back in, was it 2009?
Good guess.
They made a big deal out of it, but nobody here died. Nobody in the United States died. Right. But they tried. I think that was one of their first attempts at this type of thing. No one died. They got sick, but they didn't die.
I remember that.
And that was going to be a real big deal. And they tried to make it seem like it was a big deal. But I don't know what happened. It petered out or whatever. But nobody died. Keep that in mind. That was H5N1.
Well, they're talking.
But you know the difference now. Is that we do have a substantial percentage of the population that is immune compromised because of these injections.
Right.
So it could be a different story this time around.
Well, that's why we want both the vaxxed and the unvaxxed to wear masks. Now, we're not saying wear it 10 hours a day on the job, okay? We're saying you go into the store for 20 minutes, a half an hour, whatever. Put a mask on. Wear it right. When you leave, take it off. You'll be fine. It's not going to hurt you. You'll be fine.
People that are sensitive to the shedding, it's the mask is not perfect, but it does cut down on a lot of the symptoms, the repercussions, I would say.
Right. Okay. I'm in April.
Okay.
Which we're all still in April, but I'm in. Let me see which April this is. There's a bunch here. April 5th at that group.
Okay.
Go down to about the middle, and you'll see shedding stories beginning. Shedding, seriously sickened by shedding. Shedding baby. Shedding dilemmas. Shedding from eating out. Twice, two of those. Shedding, shedding, shedding. Do you see those?
Yes, I do.
All right. Let's start with plagued by shedding sickness. Let's go with that one.
Okay.
See it? Go ahead.
Yep, I see it.
There's two of them. Now go ahead with that one.
Can anyone explain why I don't see anyone around me having these issues? My constant health problems started when the vaccines first rolled out. For 4 to 5 months, I would get regular stomach aches, nausea, and pain. Never in my life have I had stomach problems to constant and frequent. Probably so constant and frequent. Right. That summer, it let up. But then once the first boosters hit, I started having waves of what felt like panic attacks. Over the next 4 to 5 months, that fall, I went to doctor after doctor seeking relief for symptoms that made me just feel off. In January of 2022, I got hit with COVID and have never recovered. It was like the spike proteins were building up in me until my body gave way. Fatigue, hematoma in my calf, sensitivity to light, constant dizzy or buzzy-like feeling in my head, shocks in my hands, and constantly feeling off. I suspected it was shedding, so this January 2023, I stopped going to church for 6 weeks and dramatically improved, at least 70% better. Most of the people at my church are vaxxed and boosted. Plus, my job takes me into people's homes and also into hotels and motels. I noticed my symptoms would get worse if I was in the vaccinated homes or buildings for over 30 minutes or so. Nobody believes me that it's shedding, but why am I the only one I know that is affected? How is that possible?
I think the answer to part of that is that people don't talk. They keep quiet. They don't broadcast. I don't feel good today. I don't know. They don't say much. That's part of the answer.
Yeah, I would say so.
All right. Grab the next part, short.
Both of my close friends are unjabbed. I'm pretty sure my wife is as well, but I'm not sure she would tell me if she had gotten it, knowing how I feel about it. Most of my exposure is entering people's homes for my job in church. Okay, that was a continuation, I think, of, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Okay.
So his wife may be vaxxed.
To be.
But if she is, she's not saying anything.
Right, okay. Secondhand shedding, seriously sickened by shedding. And we got a tinnitus story in there, too. Let's see what the tinnitus is saying. Go ahead with the tinnitus. That, by the way, I want to repeat this. A new study has come out that says quite clearly, if you have tinnitus and you're exposed to that constant, I can't sleep at night, ringing all day in your head, buzzing, ringing. There are many different formats. We once did a program where we played examples of it. Very interesting. If you have that, you are literally suffering brain damage. That constant exposure to sound not only stresses you out emotionally, but it damages the cells in your brain. This has now been determined. So it's a debilitating brain disorder, disease, whichever you want. All right, let's see what tinnitus has to say here. Go ahead.
So my symptoms, including tinnitus, vertigo, vision issues, nausea, and headaches, all went away about 6 months after they started 2 years ago. I'm pretty sure my brain finally figured out how to compensate for the mixed signals it was getting because of the vestibular neuritis. Nothing else really seemed to help. About 2 weeks ago, I started feeling like I might be getting an ear infection. The vertigo came back almost like it had never gone away. I ended up falling into my bathtub one morning when I stood up too fast. I tried to get a doctor's appointment, but they directed me to the ER. Multiple tests later, they were no closer to telling me why I had vertigo, nausea, headaches, and blurry vision, but they gave me magnesium again and meclizine. My ears were fine. No improvement so far. Just like before, some days are better than others. I am really hoping this isn't something that's going to keep recurring throughout my lifetime whenever things line up just right to make my body go haywire again. I don't understand the reason, but once it went away, I didn't think it would come back. And dealing with it again is really tough to handle. The tinnitus is back too, but at such a low level that it's the least of my concerns. I am praying my body compensates faster this time around. Has anyone else had symptoms return after going away for a long time?
Okay, there's a response to that. My symptoms were headaches, head pressure, dizziness, and trouble with my eyes. Well, I have recovered at this point. Sometimes when I'm sick or fighting an illness for some unknown reasons, I will have a resurgence of the headaches and eye issues for about a week. But so far, they have always gone away. The only time I had a true resurgence of everything, including the dizziness and head pressure, is when I caught COVID from my kids last summer. About 48 hours after my positive test, I began to feel exactly like I felt a few days after my second shot. That took Paxlovid and a 5-week course of prednisone to fix. Yes, and specifically, I had the vertigo come back, says another person. Just like you said, it seems like it's better now after just a week of it. But who's to say that the stuff just keeps on coming back? and also with new problems as well. So tinnitus and hearing loss, head issues, very common. One of the most common issues that we report on. Go ahead.
Interestingly, one of the major news networks ran a feature story recently on the vax injured and specific to tinnitus. And I think this or maybe several Facebook groups were mentioned as a place where people could go for support. And as a result of that, this group just swelled in membership overnight. And, you know, it just tells me that there's a lot of people out there suffering on, you know, by themselves. They don't know where to turn. And finding a group like this is just a godsend because they've been left just to wallow in their own misery.
Abandoned by society and culture. It just, unless you know someone, there are an awful lot of people listening right now who live alone. I wouldn't call them shut-ins necessarily, although we do have some really good listeners who are, but they don't have anyone to talk to. So these groups really, I think, perform a wonderful function for them. They make them feel like they're not alone completely.
Yeah, and the way they've been treated by the medical establishment is
horrible.
Just appalling.
Yeah. Awful. All right, here's one. Hi, I hope you're enjoying my hometown. He's talking to someone who's visiting, obviously. It's crazy, but I had this experience in the summer of 2021. My daughter was playing with her friend, and then her friend's mother came to pick her up. I gave the mother a big hug. She's a really great friend of mine. And then I realized she looked sick. I asked her, "Are you okay?" And she said, "No." She told me that she had been at the doctor half an hour before and had her second vaccine. And she was feeling very sick. The next day, I was feeling horrible. I had extreme dizziness, pain all over my body, especially in my chest, and I was exhausted last week. I couldn't explain these symptoms, and I'm a young woman of 32. These symptoms lasted for 2 months. I was unable to go to work and couldn't even go outside. That was the day I realized something was wrong. So there's another example of someone made seriously ill by someone who had just gotten a shot. It seems like right after the shot, first week maybe, you are at your most intense.
Heightened.
Yes, configuration of dumping this stuff. And I mean spike and mRNA and maybe other things we don't even know about. Hard to tell. Okay. Shedding baby. And shedding dilemmas. See those two? And then shedding from eating out restaurants.
Yep.
All right. Take
okay.
Anyone you want.
We'll do shedding baby. I'm the only one in my family who is unvaxxed. I was given the 6-month-old grandchild to hold after he was breastfed while reading to the 3-year-old grandchild. My eyes were watering so much I couldn't see. My head felt heavy. Headache came on suddenly. The baby had just been breastfed. Mom and Dad are both vaxxed. And I felt at the time he was shedding through his breath. I don't visit them as much as I did with the first one because I get ill about 3 to 4 days post-visit. It comes quicker if I hold the baby or change the baby, etc., or have too much physical closeness with the older one sitting on my lap, etc. I believe we are all at risk from folks that are vaccinated. I don't know if the babies born of moms vaxxed are shedding, but I'm glad someone is asking the questions. And someone says to that, a neighbor ladies... who received the jab at 3 months gestation. Her child is now 18 months old and has a continual cold for the last 6 months.
Well, not good. Well, we've seen a number of stories recently about the toxicity from breastfeeding. It's bad, very bad on children. And if they're born of a vaxxed mother, first of all, they're very lucky to have been born at all. 75% of women who get the shot during pregnancy lose their children. They're stillborn or whatever. they don't, they're, this doesn't work. These shots are inimical to life. They're not compatible.
Yeah. No.
All right, let's see what else we got here. Let's go to the restaurant stories. Go ahead.
Shedding from, okay. Hi, everyone. I'm not sure if anyone has suggested this before. I experience severe shedding symptoms after eating in cafes and restaurants. I always sit outdoors, as far away from the others as possible, and keep my visit short. I am now suspecting my symptoms are coming more from the food than the customers. When you think about it, the kitchen staff are handling the food and breathing all over it while they prepare and cook. Feedback would be appreciated.
Mm-hmm. That's a very concerning one for a number of reasons. Go ahead.
One answer. This is one of the reasons we stopped eating out in restaurants and sitting outside on the terrace. We live in a country and a region where the majority is injected with at least one kill shot. Preparing our food with their bare hands, some don't even use gloves here, breathing, sweating, coughing, etc. Nope. Yeah. My home-cooked meals are 1,000 times better anyways, so we stay at home as much as possible, or we take food with us and sit at the beach.
What about the people who say, well, it doesn't matter if someone handling the food with no gloves, and they will exude spike and God knows what else onto the food, but allegedly when you eat it, the stomach acid is going to take that stuff pretty much out.
Yeah, I would think. One of the symptoms, the spike is causing a depletion. You know, we've said this now for the last several programs, with something called NAD. And one of the manifestations of not having enough, I mean, this is really pellagra, which is a deficiency of niacin. And it's characterized by gastrointestinal issues, dermatitis, or what people are now calling radiation burns. And if it gets bad enough, it will lead to dementia. And if it isn't corrected within 3 to 5 years, you can actually die. So what I think may be happening is these people are getting spiked. They are becoming depleted in NAD in various organs and tissues. The gastrointestinal tract and the skin are the most affected, at least initially. And that may be, you know, they may be thinking it's the food, but in reality, it's just a manifestation of not having enough NAD, niacin.
Right.
And that, as I said, is serious. You know, you think, oh, it's just a vitamin. No, it's absolutely critical. When a cell runs out of NAD, it will not survive another 30 seconds. And that also may be what's happening with some of these sudden death cases, because the demand on NAD is depleting. You know, in the case of the heart, once NAD is depleted, the cell cannot make ATP, and that can result in sudden death. And that is part of the reason some of these sudden deaths in athletes have happened. When you deplete your what they call the purine pool, you're in big trouble. And that, I suspect, is happening chronically to people that are exposed to spike. You know, it's not really speculation either, because there are published papers on it, what they're finding in COVID patients and now in those who are jabbed or being exposed to this spike. Very serious.
Right. Here's another one. Now, going to the dentist is never fun. We know that. And we've read this before. I want to reread it because it's really important. When you go to the dentist, you know that dentist is right above your face, exhaling right into your nose and your mouth. You know, it's a fact. That's what they do. They can't help it. They're right there. And some of them will wear a face shield, which really doesn't do very much. It's not going to stop the exhalations from going out and around the face shield and right onto the face of the patient. In 2021, I went to a dentist who told me that he and his staff had just gotten the COVID vax injection. I did not, by the way. During my procedure, he had on a face shield open at the bottom, and his breath went right into my mouth. I felt and tasted it. Yuck. About a week later, I got a rash that quickly spread to my entire body, my face, everywhere. It was awful and extremely painful. I was in emergency twice, once in shock. The rash lasted over 3 months. Got a biopsy done on one spot. Not too long after this, Pfizer was forced to put out their current list of adverse events from the shot, which there are thousands, including many rashes and autoimmune diseases. The rash I had was on the list. Then a bit later, I got lymphocytic microscopic colitis, also on the list. That was just horrible, causing terrible pain and diarrhea that lasted for 3 months. I lost 30 pounds, which made me underweight and malnourished. I honestly wanted to go just meet my maker. I was done. Praise God, things finally got better and I'm okay now. I was perfectly healthy before 2021 and the dental visit, no skin issues or colitis ever. One inventor of the mRNA stuff has tried to warn of shedding. He also doesn't recommend to use the COVID vaccine, but that's a long story. I've read many testimonials from those who believe shedding has happened to them. Many got menstrual issues or miscarriages from being around shedders. So this is a huge story. It's a big deal. Now, this is going back to 2021. So if you go to the dentist, I don't know what to tell you. Unless you can get the dentist to wear double masks, that might cut down some of the exhalations.
Well, they were taking all kinds of precautions, you know, during the lockdowns.
Yeah, isn't that
true? I mean, I remember seeing...
And they dropped them. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and everything's inverted.
All right, so if you need to go to the dentist, I don't know what to tell you, except ask the dentist if you maybe can take a... I would take an ozonator, air purifier, and ask them if they can put it in the treatment room where you're going to be treated, maybe 15, 20 minutes before you go in there, at least 10, to clear the air. Because they're in there all day with people. And, you know, when they drill, you've all seen the fine aerosolized micro droplets. It's a spray. It's a little mist of moisture that comes off that drill because they're water-powered drills. And what's in that? Spike protein, mRNA, blood products, all kinds of things. That's what's in that little mist. And it hangs in a dental office, and you go in there, you inhale it. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. But if you go in there and you have a little ozonator for the room, you ask them to put it in there, that would at least be something. And then I would, by all means, wear the little personal unit that we have up on the website. That's a very important tool. The little ion generator, they work. They do help. Everyone is saying that they help a lot. Cut down on shedding issues. So that's another thing you want to wear when you're on the in the chair. Just put it up on your chest and keep it on. It'll shoot out a stream of positive and negative ions that'll help balance some of the pathogens you're getting exposed to. That's one thing to do. And the other thing to do is just ignore it. And when your teeth start falling out, just explain that you have a policy of not, you don't want to hang around the shedders. So, I don't know. It's not to be laughed at, but these are serious issues, especially the staff just got injected. And that's when they're at their most deadly in terms of shedding. And do remember the victims have died now and suffered all manner of illnesses. And we haven't seen anything yet, so not good.
Mm-hmm.
All right, see if there's one more we can jump in here. Shedding, yeah, that's too short. Let's get a little longer one here. All right, shedding misery. It's a little string, two or three.
Okay.
See that one?
Yep.
Go ahead.
I had my brakes fixed today. So I had to take an Uber. She was vaxxed with Pfizer. I told her to go to FLCCC. I had my window rolled down, head basically out the window. Please pray for me. She said she got it a year ago. I'm drinking dandelion and green tea like crazy today. I took a dab of ivermectin. Any other suggestions? I hate this. She was actually very eager to write down the website, which was awesome. I haven't been vocal about the vaccine since they started vaccinating the babies. I was calling and going down to pharmacies, just hoping I could save someone from making the biggest mistake of their life. I feel like such a jerk for getting quiet and becoming apathetic.
Go ahead. Number four, I think.
Yeah, okay. It's just miserable. At the moment, I feel okay, but I was inside yesterday, and today, so far, I was on a train and took two portable air purifiers with me. Thankfully, I did not get the burning skin, but I did get a headache and mouth sores. You have to wonder when this will be over and we can breathe freely again. The smells are so bad, and there is no escaping them.
So
well, again,
go.
That's
right.
Suggestive of a niacin deficiency and possibly others. But niacin is, you know, the lack of niacin is impacting the body's levels of NAD. And that is involved in, number one, creating energy, number two, DNA repair, and three is redox balance. Adding and removing electrons.
Right.
Many processes in the body depend on that. And when you don't have it, you really, really suffer in many ways. And one of which is, you know, your ability to detoxify.
Right. I want to add one more quick thing. I would really urge all of you to give some serious thought to taking Allicin C every day, at least one capsule a day. Give your immune system, especially if you've been vaxxed, give your immune system a little boost. Actually, it's a big boost. And then the Alloderm product, which is the same as in the capsules, but it's mixed with aloe vera, Alloderm, it's great for any external application. I don't care what it is. It's a wonderful product, both of them. Allicin C and Alloderm, I would implore you to get them and use them. In this day and age when most everyone is immune compromised, you have to bend every advantage your way. And that is the best broad spectrum approach I can come up with. Allicin C and Alloderm. Don't forget the Alloderm. That is great stuff. Okay, that's our program for you tonight. Thank you, young lady. I'll talk soon.
Okay.
Very good.
Yeah. All right. Have a good weekend, everyone. Good night.
Back with hour three for you, coming up next with John Barber.